I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is March 1st, 2025, and I want to remind everybody that the only reason we are sitting here right now as I record this and you are watching this in the comforts of our home under the relative umbrella of peace is because Kamala Harris lost the election and Donald Trump won the election, and so fast have we forgotten the lease on life that we have been granted because of those events. We have lost perspective. We have lost the script. There is a crisis of truth in Canada, a crisis of truth among our politicians, and a crisis of truth among our influencer class, many of whom are either in the tank with the political parties, or they're so interested in popularity, they don't have the courage or the chutzpah or the interest in telling the entire truth of what is happening in the world today. It is not an exaggeration. Kamala Harris campaigned on touching off World War III. If she had have won, the only option we had, the only break on global destruction, Donald Trump would not be in office, and we probably would have had ballistic missiles falling on our heads. Many people who knew this at the time of the U.S. election seem to have forgotten it for political reasons. Now, Spencer may not be among them, but Spencer is an example of one of the cowards in the influencer class here in Canada. He doesn't offer an alternative vision. He's in the tank for the CPC. I'm not saying he's paid by the CPC. I'm saying that his brand and the thing that he's trying to build, which is just his brand, just his following, is based on Conservative Party politics. Not the truth, not reality. He sits where something more useful should be. I'm blocked by Spencer because I suggested he should volunteer in the Ukrainian army. He should be one of those people that, if they're so committed to World War III, should go over there and do the fighting. Because right now, all of these people sit in their armchairs and just sign off on the death of millions of people in a war that shouldn't have happened, a war that could have been ended. It's a matter of historical record. Peace deals were on the table, torpedoed by the West. Look at these people all sitting together, breaking the bad news to Zelensky that his war effort is over, desperately trying to come up with a plan to keep the dying happening. And he dares call Ukraine the leader of the free world, the man who suspended elections, the man who rounds up political dissidents and puts them in prison, the man who takes the flower of Ukrainian youth, forcibly grabs them off the streets, sends them to the front line as conscripts where they die by the hundreds of thousands. To this day, Spencer sits in the comfort of his home advising a continuation of this practice, calling the dictator of Ukraine a man whose government was installed by a coup, a man who was shelling and killing for a decade the people of the Donbass. We need more people to tell the full story. We need more people to understand that in conflict, there are interests and there are sides, and the separation into a camp that ignores all the evils of one side and emphasizes the evils of the other side isn't honest, doesn't tell the truth, and doesn't lead us towards a just settlement. Why doesn't Spencer? Why doesn't Polyev? Why doesn't the pleb? Why doesn't Brittany? Why doesn't any of the influencer class tell you that Zelensky is in year six of his term, that he has banned 11 political parties, passed a law in 2022 that censors journalists, and combined all news into one state-run organization that journalists who actually investigate what's going on in Ukraine are hunted down and conscripted and sent to the front line to die? Why don't any of them tell you about this man?
Honorable Mr. Trump, my name is Oleksandr Dubinsky, and I am a member of the Parliament of Ukraine. However, for the past 15 months, I have been unlawfully imprisoned on fabricated charges. My alleged crime was exposing corruption involving the Biden family. I was the first one who exposed this information in 2019, and I was labeled Russian agent for that. Today, hundreds of people in Ukraine are incarcerated not for any legitimate offense, but solely for their political beliefs. Their only guilt lies in speaking the truth, opposing Zelensky's administration, and calling for an end to the war. These individuals are subjected to arbitrary arrests, torture, and politically motivated charges of treason.
We know that Ukraine is an incredibly corrupt regime and country, that of the billions in dollars and aid that have flowed into Ukraine, Much of it has been laundered right into the pockets of politicians who never miss a meal as they send the flower of Ukrainian youth to die. We know these things as established fact. They're not controversial at all. Prior to the war, they were reported on almost daily by the mainstream media, and even during the war, it is still reported on how corrupt the regime in Ukraine is. But you never hear anybody talking about this poor man. These are Ukrainians too. When you stand in front of the Ukrainian flag, safe with an ocean between you and the mass death that's going on, the avoidable megadeath that is Ukraine, when you stand with an ocean between you and you ignore this Ukrainian, you're not standing for Ukraine. You're not standing for the people. You're not standing up for justice. You're just virtue signaling. You're playing politics. You're doing what's always been done, and we need something different now. You may have seen this already, but we're going to watch a brief clip again. This is what truth looks like. This is how it begins.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are not strong...
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems?
What?
Bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
You will not have a war. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
I'm not dictating.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel.
We're going to feel very good and very strong. You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and it happens to be right about
it. From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't.
I'm very serious.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people.
You're gambling
with World War III.
And he is gambling with World War III, and he's doing it with your money and your future. I wrote on Twitter, think of Zelensky like the family meth head, and he makes a lot more sense. He always wears the same clothes. He expects constant welfare to fund his habit. And if you don't give it to him, he threatens to kill everyone and himself. He's addicted to death. And peace must be imposed. Peace must be imposed because nobody in the Western world seems to want it. The countries of Europe and Canada are all united in aggravating the Russians to World War III. Where is Ukraine? Where is it in the world? Is it in the middle of Canada? Is it off the border of France somewhere? Or is it right beside Russia? Was Kiev, the regime in Kiev, was it not installed by coup d'etat? Was there not a farcical election that gave it some kind of validity in Western eyes so that the media could sell a propaganda piece? Is it not a dictatorship now? Has there not been a cancellation of elections? Has there not been massive scale fraud? Have millions not died? Was Kiev not shelling and destroying the Eastern Ukrainian people, eliminating the Russian language, targeting the Orthodox Church? Extrajudicial killings, beating people in the street, shelling civilian locations all through the Donbass for 10 years before the Russian intervention? Was NATO justified in intervening in Bosnia, for instance, or Serbia or Herzegovina? Were we justified when we did that? Was NATO justified when it took out Gaddafi in Libya because he wanted to move away or move into a gold standard currency? The most prosperous country in Africa didn't do anything to anybody, had some of the biggest charitable programs. If you actually research what Libya was like under Gaddafi, They painted a picture of this authoritarian dictatorship. Libya was moving throughout Africa and actually elevating people out of poverty. And we killed them. Libya was far away from the North Atlantic. What threat did Libya pose to us? And we bombed them. Canadian jets, Canadian military, what little of it we had, we engaged in taking him out. Libya is now chaos. It's been given over to terrorists, rapes, killings. It's horrible. Were we justified? Were the Russians justified after watching for 10 years, after negotiating settlement after settlement and watching the West torpedo it, watching us expand NATO right up to the Russian border, watching and hoping that we would keep our word to actually stop the killing in Ukraine? Were they justified after a decade intervening in Ukraine for their people, for their Russian-speaking people, for their, like, how we can sit here in judgment is, it's so thoroughly dishonest. And it frustrates me to no end. And I've watched Polyev, who could have been a voice for diplomacy, could have been a voice for peace, could have provided something authentic. There was a hope, at least I had a hope, when he assumed the leadership and some of the things that he was saying, that he was actually going to be bold and he was going to carve a different path. But what do we have now? It's not just the Team Canada aspect uniparty, where everybody's got to pile onto the orange man. Polyev making the same mistake that Scheer and O'Toole made in the past, which is catering to the left, jumping through the hoops that the Liberals and the NDP put before him, trying to make himself look reasonable in their eyes as he erodes his base. Now, the Canadian public is fed up with politics as usual. We're fed up with the Liberal NDP coalition. So it may not be enough to tank his poll numbers enough, because there's a lot of people who are convinced that Polyev will just become something different as soon as he's in office, that the words he's saying now are just being said to win, and if we reward him for lying to us now, he'll tell the truth later. It's the same thing that we were told for Scheer and O'Toole. Polyev backs the war in Ukraine. He backs escalation. He talks tough about making a tough military for Canada, but he supports the aid that should go to our own people. And when it comes to Donald Trump, what you just watched in this clip between him and Vance and Zelensky was a reckoning. Nothing that's being discussed in this clip is a lie or a falsification. The media pile on and the political class pile on and the influencers who pile on this are lying to you or misleading you, or they are ignorant and they don't even know what they're doing. Polyev had a shot to be the diplomat, to be the voice for peace. Where is the voice for peace on the left? When I cut my teeth in politics 25 years ago, I was 20 years old. I think I was 21, 22. I got on a bus. I went to Toronto. We were protesting the Iraq war, which was something that was unjust. Iraq didn't have any involvement in 9/11, but we went in there and bombed these people into the Stone Age anyway and set off a wave of violence. So we went down there and we protested. What happened to the left that stood with me in those days? Now all there is, right and left, is a universal want for a world war with Russia. And people like to ignore the fact that nuclear weapons exist. And once they start going off, there's no such thing as a limited nuclear exchange. It is total or it is nothing. Why would we risk that? Why would we risk that when in Ukraine we had peace deals on the table multiple times? I've covered it in my videos. The West intervened to make sure that peace couldn't happen. So all of these peaceniks, or sorry, all of these warniks, the people who stand in front of the Ukrainian flag, they have the blood of this conflict on their hands. Polyev, the influencers, the people who stand behind them. It's useless. Ukraine can't win the war. If Western troops are deployed, as Harris wanted, thank God Trump won, because humanity got a respite. We're still all alive because of it. That's not hyperbole. That's not exaggeration. That's what happened. Now, Europe is trying to figure out how they can keep the war going and touch off the world war that they seem so inclined to want, a world war which will lead to the end of civilization. How can you sit there and support this? How can you sacrifice your morality? How can you sacrifice your future for to try and target a base, I guess, clicks and likes and shares and popularity, trading your very future life for momentary recognition? We need more truth. We need more people who speak truth to power. We need leaders in politics, and we don't have any. Our foreign affairs minister, Melanie Joly, says Canada needs to be closer to Europe and the UK. We are in a security crisis. We are in a security crisis. It's a security crisis their government led us into. They've disarmed us. They've left us defenseless. They've sold us out to China. The truth of the matter is the CCP operates with impunity right here in Canada. The cartels and triads have used Canada and converted it into a drug exporting hub. These are the facts. Any influencer out there who tells you that they're not the facts is lying to you or is grossly ignorant and doesn't deserve their following or their audience. They're just playing for engagement. It's sick. And close your eyes. Close your eyes. And hear the words again. Play them back over. If you picture a male voice, you've got Polyev. He's saying the same thing. The United States has always been there to buy our stuff. The United States, we depend on them for our defense. We have allowed our army to become denuded because we take for granted that the United States would never let anything happen to us. They're waiting with our capital. They're our best trading partner. And these people want to eliminate an ocean and start dealing with Europe. Do you realize how geopolitically stupid that is? We have a natural ally that's been with us all this time, who trades with us, who defends us, and we're going to pretend that somehow Europe is a natural partner to us after all that's gone on. We're going to call this a security crisis. What did Trump do? He told the truth about Canada. We're a money laundering hub for terrorism around the world. As I often say, there's so many statistics in my videos, but I always come back to the one where 83% of the methamphetamine in Australia on the other side of the world comes from Canada. We export their meth problem. Comes from here. When people talk about only 1% of drugs that go into the United States are coming from Canada, they're lying to you. They're talking about seizures. They're not talking about what actually gets through the border. We wouldn't have multi-billion dollar labs seemingly being busted every single day here in Canada if we didn't have an organized crime problem. The CBSA itself, an organization that the Americans no longer trust because of rampant corruption that they've identified at the highest levels of the Canadian government, corruption that we ourselves, the RCMP and CSIS, have identified all the way back 40 years. Project Sidewinder, which was buried. Look it up. Just go look up Project Sidewinder. Read what happened there. We've known about this for decades. The Americans know too. Every effective American administration, except for the American administration in 16 and the American administration that's now in power, have been supportive of what's been happening to this continent. You need to understand that it's changed now. There is a movement to take back North America for people who like Republican democracy, for people who actually like people power and citizen sovereignty, something that you don't have in Canada and you've never had in Canada. People often talk about the roots of the Constitution and the fact that there are issues about the legal constitution of Canada. I've talked about it as well. But the public believes in the power of the federal government. The public believes in the power of the courts. They tax you at source. They deny you a say. The public goes along with it. And as long as the public believes that the fraud of Canada is real, then it is real. You don't take apart a pyramid of wine glasses or champagne glasses starting in the middle. You have to do it from the top or you'll break everything on the way down. That's why a lot of the things that you want to see being said right now aren't being said right away, especially by people like me. Now, there's some other guy out there. He says that every now and again this happens, especially whenever I've been making content. Some guy gets on YouTube or gets on TikTok and he tells a fantastical story. And right now there's a dude reading law surrounding estates and wills and applying it to the country and saying that Canada's in probate and it's all just a simple handover and that Mark Carney's actually working with Trump and all this other stuff. It's live action role play. It's a fantastic story. The dude believes in astral projection too. He doesn't show you anything. He just sits there talking to a camera. It's a great story. It's good for clicks. We have a crisis in the influencer class of people who just want to manipulate audiences because they're addicted to the dopamine hits that being popular gets them. People often ask why I don't have millions of subscribers. Why isn't this channel bigger? I hear it every single day. Probably a dozen times a day, somebody says, why aren't you bigger? This is why. Truth doesn't sell. So we have to fight for every subscriber. We got to fight for every follower. Because one minute, I'm a hero. The next minute, people hate me. And that's the way it's always going to be. I'm comfortable with it. It's taken me a long time, but I'm quite comfortable with the position I'm in. Because I know the world needs more of what we got right here. We can't go on this way. It leads to destruction. The Americans are not the enemy. The Americans have been our friend, particularly when it comes to Western Canada. As Ottawa has done everything in their power to oppose our prosperity and oppose our strength, including breaking us up, we were going to be one big province called Buffalo at one point. Did you know that? And we were broken up because Quebec and Ontario were worried about us having too much influence on this country. The current government was elected in 2015 on a promise to shutter our resource industry. And we've been in a fight with them forever. Scott Moe had to go into an illegal rebellion to not apply the carbon tax. And now Scott has signaled that he's going to build pipelines with or without the federal government. These are good moves. Our partners in the West, in Western Canada, have been the United States, always there to pave our prosperity as Ottawa has opposed it. There's one road link and there's one rail link between Western Canada and Eastern Canada. That is symbolic of how little holds this country together. We are supposed to be a territory extracting value for Quebec and Ontario. That's what we've always been. When are we going to break the shackles and do something different? And we are doing something different. You and me together, the audience, the evangelizers, the disciples, the users, whatever it is you want to call yourselves, your engagement rates are off the charts. You're building it. And even though we have to fight for every single follow and subscriber because we tell the difficult truths here, you folks have helped out a lot. We had an incredible month in February, and we're going to keep going forward full steam ahead. And I thank every single one of you for all the support, whatever way it comes. And if you want to support my efforts via the website, you can do that. You can donate. FrankVaughn.ca, you go ahead. But we're going to make sure that this message can continue to get out to people, that we're going to keep composing the message based on all the facts, not political convenience, not political talking points, but the truth. And we're going to blaze a different trail by doing so. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.